Well, let's read a few verses before the bell rings. Then we'll be getting right into the book of Ephesians. So make sure you have your Bibles open to Ephesians and your notepad ready, your highlighter, your pen. Well, here's reading here from the book of Chronicles. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it says here, be mindful of the covenant. Okay, why? Because he is the Lord our God. All right, his judgments are in all the earth, which means he sends policy to correct. Okay, he sets policy to correct weather, okay, populations, okay, personal activities. Okay, he sets his judgments, or his judgments are in all the earth. Of course, whether it be peace or sorrow in the soul or even weather. So here he says, be you mindful always of the covenant. Again, the word covenant has to do with setting forth the terms for faith. Okay, by setting forth these terms for faith, okay, it also brings us within restrictions. Okay, whereas the imagination cannot take the reins with your aspiration, but you're rather corralled, okay, within the confines of truth. Okay, and this is for your safety and for your peace. So be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Okay, of course, this is the knowledge which we feast on and live by. Okay, that's out of 1 Chronicles, so if you want to make a note on that, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 14 and 15. Good verses to memorize. Here's another one from 1 Chronicles chapter 22, 9 and 10. And it says here, behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. Which has to do with the stewardship. A man of rest, the stewardship and refuge. Behold, the son should be born to you. Of course, we can see how the anointing is setting a pattern, for an expectation, just like this. The anointing is setting a pattern of expectation for the church today regarding the rapture, regarding the present work of his restoration in the church. Okay, then the anointing is giving us an expectation for our faith and outcome. Okay, behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies run about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Okay, of course, this was also to set a pattern, not only in Solomon, but also in fulfillment. Okay, concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of David, that his knowledge will give peace to the soul presently in this dimension, as well as also he will give peace to this earth. Okay, when that expectation is fulfilled in his personal presence to reign during the millennium, okay, the millennial reign of Christ in the ninth week, he will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. So we can see the word man of rest, and building a house, and that's what we're doing today. Okay, the stewardship is providing that refuge. That refuge is in this knowledge, and this knowledge we see Christ. He shall build a house for my name. Okay, of course, the word name right there isn't just for in pronunciation, but it has to do with kingdom practice. Okay, a kingdom activity, kingdom terms. He shall build a house for my name, covenant, kingdom terms, faith. He shall be my son. So we can see that even though they had the Torah, and they also had the tabernacle, so they had the priesthood, but here we can see a man of rest. The man of rest is a person. The man of rest is a person, not a documentation, not a dogma, okay, not a philosophy, a person. So behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. Now he shall build a house in my name, and he shall be my son. So we can see a connection in the priesthood and the stewardship and this token of adoption. We are adopted by faith in Jesus Christ. And I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So we can see that the Spirit of the Lord is putting a sign in this parable for us. Okay, not only was this fulfilled in the person of Solomon, okay, but God also inscribed his name in the person for a time of fulfillment for those which would be of faith, those which would consent to the terms of the covenant which our Father would provide for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see this in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, 9 and 10. Let's read something here out of the New Testament. Before we get started, we got about a minute before the bell rings. So let's read something out of 2 John. Okay, so if you want to make a notation on this and prepare a sacrifice accordingly, okay, you can do so. But here the Apostle John, Chief Elder John, it is, okay, wrote this regarding to his stewardship and the oversight or the government, okay, of the church. So he says here, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love and the truth. Now, the elect lady here, okay, that's an elder. That's why he says elect lady. And her children, whom I love and the truth, the assembly that's there, whom he is addressing. So he says here, the truth. Okay, we're going to see three manifestations of truth here. Okay, the person, what he says, and his product. Okay, the person, what he says, and his product. The threefold cord, okay, of the tethering. So the elder and the elect lady, whom I love in the truth, not only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. So you can see the three manifestations. If any thread is missing from the threefold cord, then it's truth in part. When it's truth in part, it's unwholesome. That means all the ingredients aren't present in order to effect change and regeneration. All three strands must be present within the tethering of this rope. Okay, the tethering of the rope. That's like being joined or tethered to the altar. Okay, we can see this was a common practice. Okay, being tethered to the altar. Okay, so we're tethered to the altar through Jesus Christ our Lord. We see the three manifestations of truth. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. What he does, what he says, and his product. So the threefold cord is of necessity for the completion of the work of regeneration in order to get at the desired product, that is, which God is looking for. Okay, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For those which are just coming in, okay, make sure you have a notepad ready or highlighting your pen. Today is Sunday, April 25th. Okay, this is the last Sunday of this month. All right, so let's get started here. I'm in the book of Ephesians. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we're going to continue on where we left off last week. It is concerning what the Apostle Paul said. Be therefore followers of God as your children. Okay, with dear children, those which are born of faith. Okay, even as Isaac was born of Sarah. Okay, we are born through the tokens of this covenant. Okay, we are born again through the tokens of this covenant. And this is what Jesus was relaying to Nicodemus. Okay, you must be born again. Okay, in other words, Nicodemus, a rabbi, okay, was already following through, okay, regarding all the tokens of that first covenant. Okay, and also those things which King David provided in the Davidic covenant for the church, the temple, the design of the temple, okay, and the functions of the Kohathites, okay, and the Merarites and the Gershonites. Okay, and of course we can see that one particular family or tribe, okay, of Levi there was restricted, okay, because they were no longer removing the tabernacle, taking it down and constructing it. It was already constructed now. Okay, the tabernacle was taken down by the Levites, okay, of those of the priesthood, okay, but the other Levites, they had their duties, the Merarites and the Gershonites, as concerning the removing of the tabernacle, the skins of the tabernacle, the covering of the articles, all the furniture of the tabernacle, all those things which were included within the practices of the covenant. The Kohathites, okay, were those which sacrificed, and the Gershonites, those which also took down, but also took the Merarites and concerning the mobility. So we see again the number three, okay, within the processes concerning the mobility. But when we come to the time of King David, the pattern which was described for him did not have the activity, okay, of the taking of down or carrying of these of the tabernacle, because it was put within the temple of stone, so it went from skin to stone, okay, and so this particular activity, okay, the Gershonites and the Kohathites was now restricted, okay, but King David added another theme to that, and that had to do with the singing of the Kohathites, okay, or the Merarites and Gershonites, okay, in other words, the temple choir, okay, also was added to it, okay, which was not added to it under Moses, but was added to it under King David. Okay, now, during the transition of the weeks there, and also stewardship, there was great controversy. Okay, and we'll be talking about that here in a moment. There was great controversy. Okay, and it was through this controversy, okay, that the traditionalists, the legalists and traditionalists of Moses, okay, stood up against David. Okay, they stood up against him. Now, if David was not a king, he would not have a chance, okay, in order to provide the documents for the transition from skin to stone. Okay, he would have been called a heretic. Okay, and also the particulars that surrounded it would have been confiscated by the Levites and burned. And David would have been taken out and stoned. Okay, but when he became a king, now it was after he was king that this came into his heart, saying, why is it that we live in houses of stone, okay, and God lives in the tabernacles of skin? This should not be. There's a discrepancy here. You see how the Spirit began to move him in this recognition of change. Okay, and it took time. Okay, it took time for him in order to grapple this, to accept this, and to initiate this. And many confirmations came forth, even through his son Nathaniel, which said, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Okay, he took confidence in this, and he received a pattern by the Spirit, which he also constructed, okay, who he wrote down and constructed. Okay, and he also contributed brass, the countries that he conquered, the brass and the plunders of gold, the plundering of iron, okay, which was outnumbered. Okay, and the plundering of these minerals, okay, were put in warehouses, okay, to be resourced at the time of his initiation. And so David being king, okay, stood against the contradictions. Okay, and many of them looked at him, many Levites still looked at him as a blasphemer. So that when Absalom, okay, was elected to be the next king, not by David, okay, but by general consent and through deception, okay, many of the Levites looked at this opportunity, okay, to oust the heretic and the murderer, okay, oust him, get rid of him. But the Lord was with David, okay, and the Lord again put another sign within him, okay, concerning coming down from the Mount of Olives. Okay, the king came down from the Mount of Olives, and regarding his being received back to his kingdom, as Jesus also came down on an ass's colt, and he was being hailed as being king of the Jews. But we can see that there was conflict and contradiction and contrariness from the opposing party, religious leaders, okay, which we're going to be calling them whoremongers. Okay, and we see this in the book of Ephesians here, chapter 5, verse 5. Okay, which we're going to start today. How he endured, okay, the plundering of his soul, okay, because whoremongers plundered his soul by introducing, okay, the contradiction, okay, that knowledge of contradiction. Okay, even as we experience today, knowledge of contradiction is being, okay, offered by the whoremongers in order to sow doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition in the minds of believers. For this you know, he says, that no whoremonger nor unclean person. Interesting. The perspective of their bonding is defiled. Okay, the perspective of their bonding is defiled. But the defiled conscience, they're trying to serve God. In doing so, all they're doing is introducing, okay, a perspective of philosophy and psychology, okay, in order to rectify the damage done to the conscience. Okay, because Satan, okay, dominates the conscience of the sinner, of the ungodly, of the wicked. He dominates their perception, okay, demonizing it. Okay, and the ignorant, okay, leaning towards this counsel, seeks to kill their brother, even as Cain murdered Abel. So this you know, Paul said here. Remember he said in verse 1, be you therefore followers of God as your children. So we are commanded to walk in love. In other words, we're traveling the prophetic path with charity. Our mobility is with charity. And with this, we are building. We're building and bonding the kingdom of God through the offering and sacrifices, okay, which were ascribed to this covenant, okay, which has to do with the sacrifices of knowledge, the offering and sacrifices of knowledge. Okay, for this you know that no whoremonger. So let's make a connection here. If, and of course the Apostle Paul is saying, if this is the pattern by which we are being followers of God, then what is this being introduced? That's in contradiction. Okay, and this is a contradiction to the whoremongers. Okay, the whoremongers. In the conscience of the whoremongers there, the conscience carries the witness of their own behavior for selfish gratification. Okay, they're standing to the principle. They're standing to the religious principle. Okay, and by this, they plunder. Even as the Apostle Paul warned of there in Timothy about Hymenaeus and Alexander, okay, and Hermogenes, okay, as well as also Demas. He says, Demas has forsaken me. All they of Asia have forsaken me. That's what he said. Okay, it was the plundering, okay, of the teachings of the whoremongers, the doctrines of Nicolaitans and the teachings of Nicolaitans and the deeds of Nicolaitans, okay, as they're continually mixing covenants, mixing dogma with the pure knowledge of Christ. Mixing any dogma with the pure knowledge of Christ corrupts it, makes it leavened as leavened bread. This is not the bread that comes out of the oven of the throne. Leavened bread doesn't come from the throne. Leavened bread comes from the ovens of the uncircumcised. But we partake of the pure bread of Christ, the sincere bread of Christ, as Paul brings out. Okay, we're talking about King David. We talk about the whoremongers. Okay, we'll be getting more into that here just in a moment. Okay, so we're going to jump over here right now to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. So put your marker here in Ephesians 5, and we'll be jumping over to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. So as you're going over there, keep in mind, this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. All right, well, let's see. Let's get a little more deeper into this. Okay, we're going to go into the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Okay, we're going to start around verse 41. Of course, now Jesus said here in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that's delivered me into the body of this flesh. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the last day to return to the Father's bosom. Now we can, let's go on verse 41. Now the leaders and the Jews then murmured. I like the word murmured there. And that is the Jews, the leaders and people, were rather stunned by this power, which blocked their logic. Okay, it blocked their logic. And Jesus said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. Okay, so we're going to see a contrast here, as it was in the days of Moses' abilities, the contradiction that existed from the whoremongers, Korah, okay, Dathan, Abiram, and On, okay, who were also plundering the faith of the people, okay, by offering the options of their own counsel, okay, and their philosophical position, assessing Moses' abilities, capabilities, or lack of it. Okay, they were the whoremongers. They were plundering faith of the hearts of the people, thinking that they were doing a good deed as if to stand as a watchman over Moses' ministry. They weren't standing in a tower as a watchman. They were standing as a porter of the door, locking out the city to the stewardship, or locking the city from people getting into the refuge of the stewardship. So we can see that the Jews murmured, the leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, they were trying to assess Jesus' mental state. They were trying to fit the presence of this man called Jesus of Nazareth into the present religious scheme. And it wasn't fitting. It was like putting a round peg in a square hole. It didn't fit right to them. And that's because the preparation of their heart was lacking. The Father was drawing them with grace. And Jesus knew that because the anointing was speaking through him and in him to the people. If it wasn't speaking in him, then they would concur. And regarding Jesus' testimony, they would have concurred it. In the absence of the Spirit, the world concurs to any activity of the flesh that was set with their aspiration, their goals, their own personal visions, their own philosophical ideals, or even political views. They would concur to it if it was of the flesh. But it wasn't so. Okay, there was the whoremongers were trying to plunder the hearts of the people because of their unclean conscience. They were plundering the hearts of the people, okay, with contradiction, words of contradiction. Okay, the questions which they were sowing, okay, was not adding any value to faith. So then the Jews then murmured against him at Jesus here, because that Jesus at this point said, "I'm the bread which came down from heaven." In other words, saying, I came down from the throne, okay, or the divine oven. I came down from the divine oven. I am the token you must consume. In other words, the token, okay, has to do with the stewardship. You have to consume the knowledge of this the stewardship, okay, in order to find refuge. Okay, and they said, now look at verse 42. The murmuring took this form of conflict. Okay, so they were also speaking in envy to humiliate him. And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Okay, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says he came down from heaven?" Okay, is he making himself a Melchizedek? Okay, is he making himself a Melchizedek? Because they're looking also forward to the manifestation of Melchizedek. Okay, as we see in the testimony which Paul wrote about Melchizedek, okay, giving more a description of what the Spirit revealed to him as concerning not seeing death. Okay, and so he goes on in verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "See, murmur not among yourselves by such foolish thinking." What he's saying, such foolish thinking, okay, shouldn't dominate your faith, seeing you know the history of the Scripture. Hey, you know the history. You know about Melchizedek, how he met Abraham. And of course, Jesus did bring that out. Okay, murmur not among yourselves. So we see the word murmuring again. Okay, so they're resourcing their own philosophical position. Okay, they're trying to establish authority in their principle. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." How do you like the word draw him? This is the cords of his grace. Okay, as one would draw water from a deep well. Okay, with a rope. The anointing of his grace acts as these cords, okay, to draw faith from the heart. Okay, the knowledge which is shared, the anointing which accompanies the knowledge which is being shared is to draw faith from the heart, okay, for reciprocation back to God. Okay, so no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. This is interesting, okay, and regarding that word which we read there in Ephesians, no whoremonger. They will not enter the kingdom of God. Okay, even though they believe in the existence of God, okay, they might believe the Bible, they might carry their Bible, they might memorize their Bible, okay, they could have been water baptized not only one time, numerous times, they could have communion every day, every month of their life, okay, and yet not enter into the straight gate. So here, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now Jesus is going to give he's going to be sharing some knowledge, okay, which is going to ring true to them. Okay, here when he's going to be talking about pre-existence, the pre-existence in the Father's bosom. Okay, so no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day, which means I will remove him from the dust of ignorance. Okay, when I rise again, I'm going to give a token which is going to remove him from the dust of ignorance. It is written in the prophets. Now you notice that Jesus isn't specifying any singular prophet, but rather, see, he's speaking of many, and all prophets spoke of these things. They spoke of things to come. The Spirit which was in them resourced the knowledge, okay, of the pre-existence, which has to do, okay, being in the Father's bosom, being a soul, okay, before the soul was put into a vessel of flesh. Okay, being a soul in the Father's bosom before being put into a vessel of flesh for the challenge, okay, within this dimension. Okay, so Jesus is drawing on that. Okay, which means I spoke this in the Father's bosom to all souls, which my prophets confirmed to many generations, to all the generations, okay, that I would speak, okay, of this recall, of this mystery to you. Okay, so it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. They should be all taught of God. Well, when was it first manifested? In the Father's bosom. When is the recall, okay, now completed? Within this dimension. to recall these things is in this dimension. And the day of the great white throne judgment, okay, that total recall, okay, will be fully manifested in the conscience of every soul that's standing before the Lord, which also shows a fulfillment. And Jesus is going to bring to their attention the manifold times, okay, of his calling to the conscience for them to enter into covenant with him. But they denied it, okay, through the preaching of the whoremongers, okay, Satan's ministers, ministers of unrighteousness. The ministers of righteousness are those which are not standing in regard to the perspective of God, which is in covenant, but rather to their own perspective, of doctrine and tradition. Okay, so it is written in the prophets, he says, they should be all taught of God. And here, God is manifest in the flesh, okay, bringing this knowledge back to their attention. A recall, total recall. Now, every man, therefore, that has heard, hide the word heard there, every man or soul, therefore, that has heard, that consented in the bosom now, and reciprocated this holy knowledge now, will come to me now in these waters. So every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, comes to me. Okay, he's talking about the present time. Okay, so he's saying, don't you remember that when you're in my Father's bosom, okay, when I manifested the glories that will be given to those that love me, okay, and it was there that the Lord showed the option, okay, grace or glitter. Okay, grace, when he manifested the word grace, it was in the form of the cross, right, and as of his suffrage. Okay, of his suffrage, okay, of his rejection, okay, of the contradiction that he endured, okay, of the sinners, okay, he gave a contrast, okay, contrast A, okay, which shows things, the presence of death, contrast B, okay, which showed the presence of reward, presence of death, presence of reward, okay, and the majority of the souls protested. See, that which had to do with the presence of death. Okay, but the Lord promised them, okay, that through the dimension and the vessel that they would be in, that he would communicate and recall, okay, these things for their deliverance and salvation, so that upon their lowness, they will enter into greatness, and that through their suffering, they would also obtain great reward. But the majority of the souls, okay, preferred the glitter, okay, to that which is of grace. And they are called the protesters. Okay, they want to take the shortcut and just accept the outcome. Just give it to us now. Okay, just give us the rewards right now. Okay, so that we won't have to endure this chance of missing it. But the Lord promised all souls, I will come to you. Okay, and the consenters, okay, said, we do believe this testimony, and we accept this witness, okay, that you will indeed visit us, that you will indeed communicate, okay, and that you will indeed, okay, preserve all those that believe, okay, as has also been said by Jesus, all that the Father has given me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, or the protester. The protester made his decision in the Father's bosom, but I gave him a chance equal to everyone that I give a chance to. Okay, but as a protester, he protested. He wanted to be a king, okay, but he didn't want to take the yoke of suffering. All those that enter into the kingdom have to endure the suffering to enter the gates of the holy city. So that's why every gate is a pearl. There will be 12 pearls, okay, of the 12 gates, which has to do with there's 3 gates on each side. Okay, that through suffering, we enter into glory. Okay, this was the design of the Father for the testing, okay, and for the stamp of approval, okay, for the baptism of light. Such a grand reward, an eternal reward for a temporary point of suffering. So let's go on here. So every man, therefore, every soul, every man, put the word soul over the word man, every man, because he's just talking about right here, they should be taught of God. So we're talking about souls here. Every man or every soul, therefore, that has heard, consented to this, these terms there, and has learned of these things, learned of the Father now, he will come to me, now in these waters. Not that any man has seen the Father. That means no soul has beheld the face of the Father from inside the bosom. Okay, as no infant remembers, okay, the inside of his mother's womb. Okay, no infant remembers, okay, the insides of his mother's womb. Okay, and neither do we remember, okay, and regarding, see, the presence, okay, our presence in the Father's bosom, okay, until the recall, okay, is given. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, okay, which Jesus said, of myself. Okay, he has seen the Father. Okay, now for you here, you recall these things, okay, in the knowledge I have given. You recall my face by my voice, and this holy knowledge is my Father. Okay, you recall me, recall my face by my voice. Okay, just like in the animal kingdom, there's a recall of the infant. The infant, they say birds, okay, or birds or kittens or puppies. Okay, when they're born, they don't see, their eyes are shut. But there's a recall, okay, because a recall has to do with sound and smell. Okay, sound, smell, and taste. Okay, and so in the animal kingdom, okay, we can see that upon the tokens, okay, that were previously in the darkness, okay, when their eyes were open, they give a witness now. Okay, so you are my parent. Now, okay, I have a visual, okay, of that which I didn't have before. And so Jesus is giving a visual through this knowledge. Okay, so this knowledge is concerning, do you remember this taste? Do you remember the sound? Okay, do you remember the heartbeat? Okay, do you remember the heartbeat of your Father? Okay, when you're in his bosom. Okay, do you remember that? Okay, this knowledge of charity is the heartbeat of the Father. Okay, which you're hearing today. And this is what he's talking about. Let it sink down into your ears. Okay, this knowledge. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. That is total recall. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus says. In other words, embrace this mystery which I share with you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. So embrace this mystery which I share with you. And those that see me, recall this voice, the heartbeat, and come to me. This is the drink of my well, the water of my Father's bosom. Taste and see. Taste and see. So we see the animal kingdom. The care of the parent, how the dog cleans her babies, how the mother bears and cleans her kittens. Okay, there's going to be a recall, okay, when the eyes are open. And so when the eyes are open to the recall, okay, there's a conformity and a harmony. But there, we don't see that between the animal kingdom and Adamites. And that's why there's a hostility between these kingdoms. And God put that there. That we see that in the book of Genesis. Okay, God put that there, that they would not annoy Adamites. Okay, they would not annoy him, but rather flee from his presence. So wild animals born within that nature, okay, born within that kingdom, free from Adamites, okay, do not consider the fellowship of Adamites. Okay, a wild beast doesn't really consider, okay, the Adamite as any kind of friend. They look at it as a threat. Adamites as a threat. Unless you're born in that house. Okay, and those that drink of his grace, being born in that house, okay, both taste and hear and see the voice of the Lord. Through the knowledge that they have received, through the stewardship, be you followers of God as dear children. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he says, he that believes on me has everlasting life. He will not fall into the pits of derision, okay, nor will the voice of the whoremongers, okay, ensnare them, because they're drinking of my Father's well. I am that bread of life, Jesus says in verse 48. I am that bread of life. Okay, the stewardship is this token you must eat now, and you must eat now of this altar. Those of the first covenant partook of the physical bread of the altar that was constructed by hands. But Jesus was talking from an altar constructed not by hands, okay, to an eternal inheritance not made by hands, okay, not by nothing of the flesh, nothing of the aspiration of man, nothing by the skills of man's record, okay, but by the will of God. Okay, we can see this was John's testimony and the Gospel of John chapter 1, which are born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I am that bread of life. This is my altar. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness. And now Jesus is giving contrast. Okay, they tasted the open sign with the physical tongue. but they also return to the dust. They return to the dust. Those who partake of the tokens of the flesh return to the flesh, return to the dust. Okay, so that which is the flesh returns to the dust, but that which is the spirit, okay, is retained by the spirit. That is eternal life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Now Jesus is saying, I am this bread which came down from heaven. This bread, this is the bread which comes down from heaven. This is from the oven of the throne. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof. That means taste my knowledge and not die. Okay, not die. Taste my knowledge in the soul and live forever. He will not die. I am the living bread. So I am the origin of life, Jesus is saying. I'm the origin of life and steward. I'm not the product of the soil. I'm not the product of the harvest. I'm the product of, I'm the very essence of your life. Okay, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. This is what Jesus was promising all souls in the Father's bosom that he would accomplish, that he would initiate these things. When he says, I came not of my own will, but my Father sent me. These things were initiated of the Father. These things are sustained by the Spirit. Okay, and that's what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, initiated from the Father, initiated and was from his place of origin, being the Father's bosom. Okay, came into this dimension for the purpose of completing the journey from the bosom to the bosom. Okay, we can see this, okay, also with Abraham. From the land of Canaan to Egypt, as the Bible says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Okay, returning back to the land of Canaan. Jacob went into Egypt. Jacob came back and also in the land of Canaan. And we can see also the same thing, the position of our life. We came out from the Father's bosom. We will return to the Father's bosom. But we will return to the Father's bosom, okay, with gifts which he's provided for us, okay, and with us for increase. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat or taste of this bread, which is divine knowledge, he shall live forever, while his soul is preserved and will not perish in this ignorance. And not be plundered by these whoremongers, okay, ministers of unrighteousness. He shall live forever, and the bread that I give is my flesh. Okay, and we're going to see another example of this concerning Melchizedek. The bread, which has to do with the record and recipe, is me, that I will give or sacrifice is my flesh, which I will give and issue for the token for all to embrace. I will give for the life of the world. What happened here, verse 52? Okay, the plunderers of life, meaning these whoremongers, the whoremongers of Satan's kingdom stood against him and debated. They debated against him in their logic to find their own peace and to settle their conscience, which, of course, at this point, the Father was drawing. The very thing that the Father was doing was drawing them. It says here, okay, when we go back there to verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, the Father was enlightening them at this point to draw them, but they were resisting. But see, through the plundering of false knowledge, okay, which came to the lips of the religious leaders of the establishment of that time. So the Jews strove with him among themselves. They strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, it's against Levitical law. We can't eat human flesh. Okay, well, and by the way, why does he think he's more important? Is flesh more important than any other flesh of any other Adamite? Then Jesus said to them here, he now was pressing the saying, to observe who among them would yield to grace. That's why Jesus is pressing this. That's why he says, verily, verily. He was pressing this upon them. Okay, so that he was at what is like forcing their mouth open to give the drink to them, to give the Father's knowledge to them. So then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you. That means you must yield to grace. You must accept this token for faith, pointing to himself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, I'm the true Lamb. I'm the sacrifice of knowledge that you must partake of. Except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay, here we have wine and bread. Okay, and when, remember, Abraham partook of Melchizedek. Melchizedek provided wine and bread, a token of communion, okay, and exchanging of knowledge. And Abraham reciprocated and giving gifts, a 10% of all, okay, that he plundered, okay, of the nations, and drink his blood. You have no life in you, because the knowledge of God violates the boasting of the sinner's logic. Okay, now let's go to Genesis chapter 14 for a second. So make sure you put your marker here. We'll be jumping back, Okay, as you get your sacrifices ready, I'm going to Genesis chapter 14. Okay, so we can see that the true priesthood in Genesis chapter 14, the true priesthood doesn't steal from the children's mouths. Okay, the true priesthood doesn't steal from the children's mouth. It doesn't grab the food on the meat out of the lips of the children, but gives food to the soul. Desponding gives life. Now death plunders. So the whoremonger consumes their own flesh. And we'll see that. So let's start in verse 17. Okay, now Bera, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, went out to meet Abraham, the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheba, okay, which is the king's dale. Okay, this was a point, okay, whereas Melchizedek heard through the messengers that this is where they were assembling together. The area of their assembly, after the conflict had ceased, they were to regroup here. They had victory through Abraham. So let's see what happens here in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, hide the word Melchizedek there, verse 18, by revelation now he gave these as a sign of Christ's communion at the Passover, okay, which we see also in Mark 14. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, cite the word bread and wine, okay, the tokens of blessing, okay, which also Abigail brought to David. Okay, Abigail brought tokens of contrition to David in order to bring peace between him, okay, and Nabal of Carmel. Melchizedek is also bringing tokens of peace, okay, of his priesthood to Abraham. Okay, this was prophetic, okay, of that which is going to unfold during the millennial reign of Christ, okay, as well as also going to be established as a precedence, okay, during the 10th week, the baptism of light, that we also as kings and priests, okay, will provide knowledge of tethering to those things which proceed from us, okay, in other dimensions, okay, a priesthood and a stewardship to oversee. And he blessed him, and he was a priest of the Most High God, and all the people gathered to hear the gospel now. The people gathered together in the king's dale, okay, which, like I said, was a providence of assembly. You see, and this was agreeable to all the kings that were present, okay, with Abraham, that they would assemble there. So here was an opportunity and a gathering where Melchizedek preached the gospel. Abraham also, okay, was there, and he consented to that which Melchizedek shared, okay, as also those that believed also partook of this communion, okay, and they stayed with Abraham. And this is what Melchizedek said. At this point, Melchizedek openly anointed Abraham and confirmed his revelations. Okay, and we're going to see that the Lord will affirm these things again in chapter 15. So Melchizedek blessed him. By what? By giving him tokens of knowledge. He blessed him. He said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth, of fire and water. You, Abraham, who defeated those kings, these five kings, by your hand for this occasion to unfold now, that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. The event that unfolded between you and Chedorlaomer, okay, is going to stand as a testimony that they have heard this gospel. And blessed be the Most High God. God delights to create these circumstances to benefit your faith and to provide also contrast between the consenters and protesters and who refused your stewardship as my key. So blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies in your hand. Okay, and Abraham reciprocated Melchizedek and they gave him tithes of all by the sign. This was to confirm the union and harmony of this knowledge. He confirmed his faith. In verse 21, and Bera the king of Sodom and said to Abram, but give me the persons, take the goods yourself. Bera the king of Sodom was asking him, give me the persons and let this cover the cost. You can take the goods yourself. This is my tithe to you. You can take the goods yourself. But then Abraham said to the king of Sodom, well, I lifted up my hand to the Lord and the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from you a thread, even to a shoe latchet. Then I want to take anything that is yours, lest you should say I made Abraham rich. Now, so Abraham then responded to him, and he says, I can't receive the confirmation from you, for it's not a faith. Okay, I have sworn an oath to God. That's the Most High God. All the souls belong to Him. They don't belong to me. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. So I will not receive any token from you. I'm not take anything. Okay, lest you say I made Abraham rich.
and you dishonored his blessing in Melchizedek. Okay, verse 24. To save that believe, they may stay with me. Okay, but take all the others with you. Save only that which the young men have eaten. They feasted with wine and bread now, in verse 18 we see. Okay, and the portion, the group which now accept me as their refuge, they can remain with me. And the portion of men which went with me, these men, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let them be blessed by Melchizedek. Okay, for a blessing. Okay, for they have confirmed my stewardship. That's what he's saying. So we can see the progression of revelations which Abraham received, which led up to the point of circumcision. Okay, so we see that which took part in Haran, from Haran to Egypt to Canaan to this war of conflict, now to the next revelation, which is here in chapter 15. This is the blessedness of Abraham, which we also are partaking of. Now, after these things, after the contradiction, which caused Abraham this anxiety, but God gave Abraham peace with revelation of grace. After these things, now the contradiction. Okay, am I always going to have to face war? That's what Abraham was wondering. Okay, am I always going to stand in doubt of my life? So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Then it means, as long as you're in the flesh here, Abraham, I don't want you to fear these circumstances. Even though you're going to be facing contradiction, and he did, he faced contradiction, but you're not going to face the circumstances that you have faced today with Chaleomer. Okay, that was a big challenge. So fear not, Abram. I am your shield. So I had the word shield there. You are a shield to these people. I am your shield to you. Okay. You are a refuge to them. Okay. Even to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. That is by these gifts, the gifts of this revelation, you shall increase and prosper. Okay. Now let's go back to what Jesus is saying in John chapter 6. So I'm turning back to John here, where Jesus says in verse 54, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. He has a place of refuge. Okay, he has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day, because I'm going to awaken the conscience and bring him to the Father's bosom as I appointed him. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Not that of the ignorant beast, but that of my Father. But that which is my Father I'm giving you now, okay, you now and me. I'm the true lamb of his fullness. My innocence you must have for eternal life. 56. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. This is a cycle of life. But he's saying, I am your cycle. The living Father is a living Father. The faceless, he's the faceless one of the crystal sea. You can't see him because you're inside of him. You can't see him because you're inside of him. But I am the Father. I am the Father, but just in his form. So as a living Father has sent me, which means I came out from, he put a human face on me. Okay, he put a human face on himself. That's what he did. He put a human face on himself. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. My existence is being joined to the Father. I live by the Father, and also we do. We live by that tethering. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. So he that eats me shall have a refuge from the plundering of the souls. Okay, he shall live by me in my Father's bosom. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. You see how Jesus is making the contrast. Okay, so that which is a natural appetite and that which is a spiritual appetite. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now these things he said in synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. This was to challenge their faith. Okay, he was making distinctions here. Are you going to embrace me as Abraham embraced Melchizedek? Okay, or are you going to spurn me? Okay, are you going to just deny me, reject me? Many, therefore, of the disciples, what happened here? The majority of the students struggled with this, okay, with the saying. Why? Because the whoremongers were there. Many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this mystery, they replied, this is a hard saying. This is beyond understanding. Who can hear it? We never heard this knowledge before. Now, when Jesus knew in himself, which means to reflect upon the testing, okay, put in his stewardship, and now they look for other evidence as proof of his claims. Because Jesus knew in himself, that is from the very beginning, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. They sought more evidence and proof. Okay, but Jesus said to them, okay, now, of course, Jesus said to them, at this point, Jesus cautioned those his Father was drawing. And he said to them, does this offend you? Okay, now, I mean, do you stand in doubt because of the challenges, of their challenges, or proof of me and my claims? Okay, now let's go back to the book of Ephesians. Okay, so we talked about these things. Now that's because of their uncleanness. Okay, the whoremongers continually, they continually want to shield their ignorance. Okay, they ran from the anointing. Okay, the anointing does not settle well, okay, with a protester. Okay, so either therefore they will turn and aggress at it, or else they'll turn and run from it. Okay, no, let no man deceive you. So I like the word deceive you. Draw a line from the word deceive you to the word whoremonger. Because they're unclean. Let no man deceive you with these vain words, their uncleanness. Such are those that preach their own condemnation. Okay, this is a powerless gospel in the form of their form of salvation without Christ's covenant. Okay, is this nothing more than a psychology of the mind? For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So you might want to word wrath there to the vain words, deceive, and whoremongers. But we are charged to be followers of God as dear children. So let no man deceive you with vain words. Okay, for because of these things, that means because of these false tokens carry the face of death, which God will destroy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These who refuse to observe the house rules, despising the terms of his covenant. So then he goes on, verse 7. Okay, be not you therefore partakers with them. Okay, so let's jump over to Revelation chapter 3. All right, we're going to read from verse 2 to verse 6. Be watchful and strengthen things which remain. This is the angel of the church of Sardis. So what was he saying here? Okay, my knowledge is laid upon the head of John by the powers of the angels to be a refuge and to correct the body of Christ. This is a testimony in the book which is being written. Okay, so he's saying to the angel of the church of Sardis, so be watchful. This is what the angel is writing down for John to communicate. Be watchful and strengthen. How do you strengthen? With grace upon grace, knowledge upon knowledge, wisdom upon wisdom, understanding upon understanding. Certain things which remain, that the things which are presently embracing your priesthood, this judgment is to correct your thinking so that your sacrifices won't be contaminated. Okay. So embrace the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Hide the word not perfect. They're not complete at this altar. They're not complete at the altar. They're not perfect. Remember therefore, remember by whom now? Remember therefore how you have received through the stewardship and heard and hold fast. Okay. And repent. That means you must change your behavior in the assembly. See, if therefore you should not watch, this is part of your repentance. Repentance is watching, which means you are embracing this now. Embrace what I'm giving you now and be watchful. Take the gift. If therefore you shall not watch or not labor with this tool, I will come, the Lord is saying, I will come on you as a thief. I'm not going to give you a gift. I'm going to take it away when you least expect it. That's why he says, if therefore you shall not watch, where are you watching? Okay, at the altar. Watching, you're laboring with the tool. At the altar of this covenant. Okay, I will come and use a thief now. Okay, I'm going to take this gift and not give something to you. Okay, and you shall not know what hour I shall come upon you. You have a few names, even of Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, which be not defiled, they have because they have been washed with this water. They've been washed with the water of this word. So they have that defiled their garments as do the state of their conscience. For they should walk with me in white now, free from this corruption. Okay, for they are worthy. That means they're worthy of my gifts. As long as they honor the stars of the stewardship, okay, which I put upon John's crown. Because Jesus had seven stars in his right hand, and he laid his right hand upon the head of John, Apostle Chief Elder John, for the purpose of stewarding these seven churches of Asia. Now he that overcomes, I like the word overcome there, the believer that accepts the stewardship, regardless of his previous employment as a fisherman, should remove the veil of ignorance, okay, and put on the vestments of the Lord's priesthood. Okay, in other words, you're washing yourself, okay, from the words of contamination, okay, through the lips of the whoremongers, the unclean, the covetousness, those of covetousness, those which are just pursuing, okay, the comforts of this world. They're trying to find peace, okay, outside of Christ. Now, he that overcomes, see the word overcome there, there has to be contradiction for the word to overcome to be, to be valid. Okay, there has to be contradiction for the word overcome to be valid. Okay, the word overcome is not valid in the baptism of light. You're not overcoming anymore. Okay, you have received the tokens of your reward. Okay, you have entered into the eternal rest, which is spoken of. There is yet a rest to the people of God. Okay, that is the rest of the baptism of light. Where, see, we be functioning as gods, okay, in the temple of God, in the very house of his light, in the very state of his conscience. He that overcomes, the same should be clothed in white raiment. Okay, vestments of the Lord's priesthood. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He's the word blot out. Okay, that means if you're eating contaminated food, you're going to get sick. Okay, if you eat the knowledge of this world, you're poisoning yourself. Talk about environmental contamination. The world is so concerned, okay, about climate change that they have abandoned the condition of their own soul. The condition of this world is a result of their sin. So if it was to be reversed, it must be reversed by Christ. Okay, and we can see the evidence of that. The evidence of that will be during the ninth week, okay, which has to do with the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. When he comes back on earth, okay, no one's going to be crying out, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do about climate change? Okay, oh Lord, what are we going to do about the starving? Okay, about the starving people? What are we going to do about COVID-19, Lord?" That's not even the mindset. Okay, that won't even be your mindset. Okay, during the ninth week, that's the mindset of the world. The mindset of the world, okay, is trying to resolve the contradiction because they want the blessing. Okay, but that's not how it works. It's backwards. Okay, you need to possess the blessing in order to reverse the wrath. You need the blessing to reverse the wrath. In order to get the blessing, you have to come in a covenant. And to come in a covenant, you need the knowledge of God. Okay, so it says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's go back now to Ephesians and let's get ready to close here. Okay, Ephesians 5. So we can see the overcomers, those that overcome, we overcome from the plunderer of life. Let's look at verse 7 here. He says here, "Be not you therefore partakers with him." Now you're overcomers, see? You're not eating of their table. Okay, you're not standing at that altar. You're not standing at their altar, not the altar of Baal. You're standing at the altar of Christ now, see? Okay, but you need the knowledge of where this altar is at. That's where you need the wisdom through stewardship. The stewardship will point to this as the anointing points to the source. Okay, the anointing points to the source. See, he says here, "So be you not therefore partakers with them." In other words, they're saying there's no true fellowship to bond with them. They're laboring with slime and mortar. Slime and mortar. We see that in Genesis. Okay, that's what Nimrod built, okay, his aspiration with. The slime and mortar. "Be not you therefore partakers with them," the slime and mortar people, okay, which work with the earthly tokens, the natural things. Okay, because they use the bricks of their own record and scale, replacing the true stone of his house, the cornerstone. The apostles and prophets, okay, they're building that foundation within you. Okay, and Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. He is the origin and the destiny, the Alpha and Omega, okay, of this whole process to which, okay, we are reciprocating, okay, this knowledge of him in our building process. So we see the mobility is completed, okay, as Abraham's. Okay, Abraham's mobility was completed, okay, in the embracing of Melchizedek. Okay, and that confirmation was blessed of God, because right afterwards, the Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision. And afterwards, also, the Lord continually affirmed not only Abraham's position and those things which God called him to do to fulfill his lot, okay, but also our lot today. Our lot is being fulfilled through the tokens of the stewardship, okay, and through the activity of your priesthood, to the exchanging of this knowledge, the true communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.